Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In the public eye, the pandemic feels more and more like a past tense. This week, Governor Newsom said California's COVID state of emergency will come to an end in February after the holidays, which will mark 3 years since our way of life was uprooted and dismantled with stay-at-home orders and shutdowns in the spirit of public health. And this follows President Biden declaring last month that the pandemic is over, while in the same breath, also cautioning that COVID is still a problem. People are still getting COVID-19, obviously. Hundreds are still dying each day in the United States. And for some who recover, they face a gray area of perplexing, lingering symptoms that can last for weeks or months, what we've come to understand and call as long COVID. This week, in an interview with The Guardian, Dr. Anthony Fauci warned of prematurely declaring the pandemic over because of long COVID, calling it, quote, a very insidious, beneath-the-radar screen public health emergency. Although still mysterious in many ways, researchers do know more now. UC Davis Health is among a select group of university hospitals across the country that created a post-COVID clinic back in 2020. So with the perspective of 2 years of treating patients, we've invited Dr. Bradley Sandville, a pulmonary and critical care physician, to discuss what they've learned and the challenges that remain. Good morning, Dr. Sandville.
Good morning.
You know, often we don't really know the effect or the impact of long COVID until we're confronted with it personally or through a loved one. How do you describe long COVID?
Long COVID is a wide range of potential symptoms that a patient can experience. Anywhere from just a few months after their infection, just lingering effects from it, or for some, it's going on 2+ years with just a starkly varied symptom base.
You know, when talking about your longest patients, I mean, 2+ years, what are the symptoms that you're treating at the clinic?
The patients that have the longest symptoms typically, in my experience, have a combination of extreme fatigue, exercise limitation, typically manifesting in shortness of breath. They will often complain of headaches or heart palpitations, those being some of the more common complaints that people would have long term.
Do you have an idea of the percentage of people who get long COVID after recovering from COVID-19?
It's not exactly documented. However, there's been a couple of studies that estimated it's anywhere from maybe 5 to 20% of patients.
5 to 20.
I don't think we have an exact number. Yeah.
You know, you're talking about symptoms that are, you know, linked to chronic illness. You're talking about fatigue and trouble exercising. I would imagine that's hard for a person to become aware that they may have long COVID and then reach your clinic. I mean, what does it take for a patient to actually, one, become aware that your clinic exists? It's been around for 2 years, and then to seek treatment.
A lot of our patients get patients referred from all over California. Earlier, we were getting before there were many other clinics set up, we were getting them from other states. Some of that was just advertisement, word of mouth spread, likely. The difficulty is even getting a patient in the clinic and seeing them, there's not always a clear reason for their symptoms that we can pursue treatment that's going to be clearly effective. And we're still kind of stuck in that area with long COVID in general for many of people's symptoms.
In terms of what you've learned so far, this clinic started, I believe, in October of 2020. So we're 2 years in. What has surprised you most during this process?
Yeah, I mean, we started this clinic largely out of the pulmonary division, although we had significant support from other specialty areas. But we were kind of the home for it. And we did it largely because we knew this was a respiratory virus and was causing a significant respiratory illness in patients. So we anticipated there being a lot of patients coming out of critical illness who were in the ICU, had some long-term lung damage from their infection. Turns out most of our patients ended up having mild infections, never needed to be hospitalized. And they're the ones who have this, you know, potentially significantly debilitating symptoms without any clear, you know, lung damage or even discernible organ damage, but yet are significantly limited. So I think that was probably the biggest surprise that we had.
Yeah. And back at that time, I mean, you all and all of us were still learning about COVID-19 and the effects. And I mean, this clinic started before there were vaccines, before variants that we've come to know dominate, you know, the number of infections across the country. I would imagine that made it more challenging to pinpoint the causes of long COVID and who was more susceptible.
Absolutely. We basically have had to kind of make it up and as we go along. And then as fortunately over time, there's been, you know, research that has come out at least helping to narrow things down a little bit, although whether there is a unifying underlying cause to this, I think remains to be seen.
Yeah. I mean, when you Google long COVID, there's always articles on it. They're almost daily. They're certainly weekly. But, you know, given that, you know, you're based in research, what is, I guess, the most up-to-date information that you have now about long COVID that would benefit people who may be going through this or have someone that they love going through this?
Right. I think the most important thing is you have to treat each patient as an individual, because everyone's not going to be the same. You can't just have a blanket assumption that, oh, I see this pattern frequently, so this is going to apply to everyone. And I don't think that's the case. There's some large chunk common themes that we find, and that those big chunks being a significant amount of what we would call chronic fatigue syndrome, which is a well-known kind of post-viral manifestation, but just the volume of patients with COVID is probably highlighted it much more. Patients will frequently suffer from what we call autonomic dysfunction, which is what regulates your heart rate, your blood pressure, and part of kind of how your gastrointestinal tract works. And that'll give a variety of symptoms people can have. Some of the exercise limitations or shortness of breath is not clearly related to a heart or a lung issue at all, but likely has something to do with either impaired oxygen delivery to the muscles or muscle dysfunction or a mitochondrial dysfunction. We're not entirely sure, but it's not, I think it's a lot of people like to talk about lung or heart damage, but that in my experience tends to be a relative minority of patients actually.
Mm. When you talk about chronic fatigue syndrome, I mean, that existed before COVID-19. What's unique about long COVID that you've learned through this process from maybe the patients that you saw 2 years ago to the patients that you're currently receiving now?
I don't know what's unique about it compared to prior chronic fatigue syndrome patients. It's not an area that is within my, you know, trained expertise. But I think the biggest thing is just that there's so many patients at one time. We've never really had a situation where you had millions and millions and millions of people getting the same infection, leading to this amount of patients with that severe of a debilitation. I think the other part of the other problem is chronic fatigue syndrome isn't a super well understood condition anyway. And I do think that having this many patients with it at one time has led to a better understanding of what chronic fatigue syndrome is and the associated additional symptomology that can come with it. And it's possible that a lot of the autonomic dysfunction or the exercise limitation issues that come with these patients is all related to the same underlying cause of chronic fatigue syndrome. But that's just kind of my surmise on the data that I've looked at, but I don't think it's totally known yet.
Right. I mean, chronic illnesses can be difficult to diagnose and treat, you know, for that reason. And that can be a frustrating road for people who want to get to the root cause of what's going on with them. Can you help us better understand, you touched upon it, the challenges from a medical perspective of treating and diagnosing, you know, things like chronic fatigue and other chronic illnesses?
Right. Yeah, no, it's a challenge. And part of it is because there's not like a single test you can run that says, oh, you have this. It's like that way for a lot of medicine. But especially for something like this, it's really based off the patient's symptoms and just monitoring them over time. So it takes time to settle on, okay, I think this is really what you're dealing with. And then you get into the fact that there are not a lot of known effective treatments for this. There are some chronic fatigue syndrome specific clinics that I know are trying a variety of medications that are potentially looking pretty promising, but it's all relatively new. And I think there will be an acceleration in what we know about this over time, but it's, you know, this all just takes time to kind of figure out and test and see if what we're doing is effective.
Do you have an idea of the volume of patients you've served in the last 2 years at this clinic?
I don't know an exact number, but it's hundreds for sure.
And I would imagine it's constant.
Yes, we are still seeing patients on a regular basis.
When you talk about some of the longest patients that you've been treating over 2 years now that are still experiencing symptoms, are the symptoms the same or similar to people who maybe do have some long COVID symptoms but resolve them within a few weeks or maybe even a month?
They can be. It can be similar symptoms. I think the people that resolve their symptoms very quickly, that's not necessarily, you know, that's just probably lingering effects of the initial infection that can go on for 1 to 2 months. But for the people that just kind of persist long term, it's super varied. Some people, you know, last 6 months or symptoms will last, sometimes it's a year, and some people just get better within that time frame. But there is a solid chunk that it's, you know, been over 2 years and they just are not really showing lots of signs of improvement.
Has there been any progress in understanding why someone can get better and recover from long COVID symptoms after like a month or even 6 months, and why some people don't?
I don't think that's really well understood. There was a thought maybe that, you know, being vaccinated would help, but that data is pretty mixed. I wouldn't say there's agreement that having been vaccinated, unfortunately, would protect you from getting long COVID. There's some trials that show that it does, and there's some trials that show maybe it doesn't. We have had a lot of anecdotal reports of people getting vaccinated after they have developed long COVID symptoms. And I have several patients that got vaccinated and within a few weeks, they said, I'm back to normal. And again, that data is just mixed on it. So I don't think we know definitively for sure if that's the case.
Yeah, that's kind of like the $1 million question for this. And anecdotally for you and the patients that you treat, I mean, you treat people who are vaccinated as well as unvaccinated that have long COVID symptoms, because you also mentioned it could have been a mild COVID-19 infection, but then they still have long COVID.
Yes. Yeah, it's vaccinated and unvaccinated patients. I think the majority were probably unvaccinated because of the amount that we had early on, but that would just kind of be my gestalt on it.
What sort of treatments are available?
It kind of depends what the problem is. If you're focusing on kind of chronic fatigue syndrome, we actually have a lot of our patients go to chronic fatigue syndrome specific clinics, and I know that they are trying a drug called naltrexone, which I think is kind of been a thought in the past about being a potential treatment for chronic fatigue syndrome. For patients with shortness of breath, I will try all patients on inhalers and see if they have a benefit. I try to evaluate whether patients have underlying asthma that's been worsened, which is a not uncommon thing to have happen after a viral infection. So if you can go down that specific pathway, that's helpful. For things like the autonomic dysfunction that can come with it, a lot of that is focusing on staying well hydrated, working on aerobic exercise, and doing so in kind of a way to prevent the kind of crash that can happen with that. The problem is that if that's associated with a lot of extreme fatigue and kind of post-exertion fatigue, exercise can be a real challenge for those patients and potentially not something that they would want to do.
I want to go back to what Dr. Fauci warned earlier this week on The Guardian. I mean, he was concerned about prematurely declaring the pandemic over because of long COVID. Do you think this issue, long COVID, is getting the awareness that it deserves?
I think so. I mean, one could argue that any specific, you know, condition that people have could always have more awareness or more money thrown into research for it, probably across the board. But there's no way to ignore all these patients. And there definitely are clinical trials being done to look at these potential treatments for this. But, you know, each patient is different and complicated, and it's not going to be a one size fits all intervention unless there's something that shows that, oh, this is a true unifying diagnosis for this, which I just, to my knowledge, I have not seen that we actually know. So I think there's probably more that could be done, but the worst part about it for the patients, this is all just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. You know,
the research into any disease takes a long time.
Given that we're at a point now where, you know, people are really individually weighing, you know, the risks they want to take on and what they want to do, you know, with their lives and gathering with people and things like that, what do you want people to be aware of?
You mean like in terms of
long COVID
that we see, or just long COVID in general?
Yeah, COVID in general and symptoms with long COVID.
Yeah. Like you had mentioned kind of early on, it seems like, you know, concern for COVID somewhat fading, and it is hard to kind of maintain that, you know, significant degree of vigilance all the time. And we're likely to have additional variants come out over time, whether they get milder, who knows, whether they revert back to a really severe strain, who knows. But I think that, you know, for me, I've always tried to maintain a little bit of caution, at least because of my work in long COVID and seeing patients that lives have just been so upended. And I just, I have some degree of caution over, you know, well, you want to go back to your regular life. And I think everybody should, you know, want to do that. The development, the potential of getting long COVID from just getting like even a mild or asymptomatic infection is still there, still present. And that could be the potentially even a worse aspect of the COVID pandemic long-term for a lot of people.
Given that you have a front row seat to this, I would imagine, you know, when this clinic was started, you know, in October of 2020, there were so many unknowns. Now, 2 years later, we know more now. I would imagine that this clinic is obviously useful, but has been so instrumental in understanding the nuances of this virus and the ripple effects it can have.
Yeah, when we started and we started getting all these patients come in who had mild infections, we really just didn't know what we were dealing with. And so it's taken a bit of time, but I think we, at the very least, we can offer people some degree of guidance on what may help them from a symptom standpoint. Whether it actually does is kind of up to individual trial.
Finally, given that you're still treating some patients that have symptoms for going on 2 years now and counting, what gives you optimism? What makes you hopeful that patients like these patients can make a full recovery?
Yeah, I think that for me, the biggest issue that's been for the long-term patients is the amount of fatigue that they have and how debilitating it has been. And given how common it is across the long COVID patients, I think that's going to get a lot of focus. And we've had patients that go to chronic fatigue specific clinics that come back and say, you know, I feel better at least having just gone there and listened to someone give me guidance or started me on a new medication. Some people are having a good response to it. So I'm always hopeful that will continue to go onwards and forwards.
Dr. Sandville, thank you so much for the time.
Of course, no problem.
Dr. Bradley Sandville is a pulmonary and critical care physician at UC Davis Health, discussing their post-COVID clinic and what they've learned in the 2 years treating patients with long COVID. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.